as we all know, in the time of the Greeks, they made decrees, like the Mishneh Berurah says, against the religion of Am Yisrael. They made decrees in Am Yisrael not to learn Torah, not to keep mitzvot. It was a battle against Judaism. They made decrees not to keep Shabbat, decrees not to keep Brit Milah, decrees not to keep Rosh Chodesh. If you look in the Midrash, in the beginning of Sefer Bereshit, the Midrash discusses what the Torah describes as Hoshech al Pene Tehom, that the world before the creation was a place of darkness. So the Midrash uses the opportunity to explain what darkness means. So we don't have a problem with the word darkness. We know what it means. But the Midrash uses the opportunity to explain to us darkness in a way that maybe we wouldn't have thought about. Says the Midrash, what is darkness? Zo Malchut Yavan, says the Midrash, that darkness is referring to the Greek Empire. Why are they called darkness? Shehshichu Einehem Shel Yisrael, they darkened the eyes of Am Yisrael. Bigzerotehen, with their decrees, meaning their decrees to abolish Judaism, that's called darkness. Because living with Torah and mitzvot is called light. Like we saw yesterday, kiner mitzvah v'torah or. The Torah is a light, guides us in life, and the mitzvot are ner. So the Greeks, when they came with their decrees, their goal was to darken our lives. Shehaita omeret lahem, says the Midrash, that the Greek Empire made a decree, kitbu al keren hashor, write on the horn of the ox, she'en lahem chelek b'Elohei Yisrael. Every Jew had to write on the horn of his ox that they don't believe in God. It's like telling people to put on their front windshield, I do not believe in the creator of the world, Elohei Yisrael. At least not the God of the Jewish people. The question is, on this Midrash, that the Greeks wanted to abolish all of Judaism, and they made decrees on very critical mitzvot, Shabbat. A Jew without Shabbat, impossible to survive. Brit Milah, Rosh Chodesh, without Rosh Chodesh, there are no holidays, there's no Pesach, there's no Sukkot. The calendar tells us which days are holy and need to be properly observed. When we would talk about the darkness of the Greeks, and they try to darken our lives, we have plenty of things to describe this darkness. But yet the Midrash doesn't talk about the darkness of no Shabbat and doesn't talk about the darkness of no Brit Milah and the darkness of no learning Torah and the darkness of no Rosh Chodesh. It chooses a darkness that I don't know that we would have even considered such a big deal. They told a Jew, you're going to work, you're going to sit on your ox, or whatever they do on the ox, put on the horn a sticker that says, I don't believe in God. The farmer doesn't believe what is written there. It's basically a paper he needs for the government to put on his windshield. How can this be the example of the darkness of the Greeks? Doesn't seem to be so far-reaching or damaging. Certainly not like Hilul Shabbat. Not learning of the Torah. But the Midrash chooses to describe this as darkness. You know what darkness? When they told us to write on the horn of the ox, I don't believe in Hashem. And we need to understand that. Why is the Midrash choosing specifically this one? And the truth is, we have to understand what was the Greek mentality here. Why did they care so much about writing on the horn of the ox words that they knew the Jew did not believe? What was, you know, the Greeks were philosophers, they were smart people. So what was their chokhmah, what was their wisdom here? The Pasuk says in Mishle, Mikol mishmar netzor libecha, ki mimenu tozeot haim. The Pasuk says in Mishle, how many people, if they knew this Pasuk, they would have saved themselves from troubles in life? How many people, if they were aware of this Pasuk, would have lived a much happier and successful life? The Pasuk we're about to explain is probably, I don't know if it's the most critical Pasuk, but has to be up there in the most critical piece of information that you could share with any human being, starting from their age of bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah, and throughout their lives. Says Shlomo HaMelech, Mikol mishmar netzor libecha, ki mimenu tozeot haim. Let's go with the end of the pasuk first. Tozeot haim means the results of life. Life produces results. Some people produce in their life tremendous results, both spiritually, socially, in their marriages, raising their children, in their character, in their happiness, tremendous results. You see a person who has a full package of success. That's called Tozeot Haim, the results of life. And sometimes you see that the results are not that great. You see a lot of complaining. You see a lot of anger. You see a lot of conflict. Not too much shalom. with family, marriages either non-existent or not doing very well, families broken, the person is broken. Oh, they may sound smart, but they have a lot of issues going on in their life. Those results are not that great. Toseot Hayim means that life produces results. Hayim is life. Toseot means results. Life has results. Great results, mediocre results, terrible results. And comes Shlomo HaMelech and says, Ki mimenu, from this item that I'm about to tell you, from it, the results of life will be decided. That's nice to know. That all the results of life, the great and the terrible, and anything in between, is being decided by this one thing. We would have thought that results of life are decided by many things, many experiences. But says Shlomo HaMelech, it's not like that. One thing, mimenu, mimenu means from it and only it. It doesn't mean to say also from it. Only from this part will the rest of your life be decided and the results. So you take a child, what will decide his future? This. Mimenu. What is this? What? What is this one item that will make you or break you? You and every other person like you. Says Shlomo HaMelech, it's your lev. It's your heart. Lev in Hebrew means heart. El Tanakh, it usually means your mind. The reason why they describe your mind as lev. It's because what's really important in the mind is the part of it that reaches your heart. Which means there are people that know a lot of things, but it's storage in the hard drive of their brain. It's not really part of their life. And then there are things that are stored in the brain that are part of the reality of the person. The reality of a person is called his heart. His heart is where he lives, is who he is. So the mind that connects to the heart means the mind, the information that you live with every day. That's called lev. Says Shlomo HaMelech, your mind, the healthy mind, produces tremendous results. And the sick mind produces terrible results. You might think the struggle is this person or that situation, but in reality, a healthy mind produces great results. That's where it's at. Sometimes you have a person who's involved in something, in a relationship, let's say, that's not going so well. How does he solve that? Sometimes it's his fault. Sometimes a couple comes to discuss their issues. Sometimes it's your fault. And sometimes it's not your fault. I've had discussions with people. And the words that I would tell them is, it's not your fault, but only you could solve it. That sounds weird. Not your fault, but only you could solve it. Not always is the person at fault the one that's going to solve the problem. For example, you talk to a husband, well, after speaking a half hour with him, you realize he's out of his mind. He's a stubborn, angry person. Not a bad person. Sit down with his wife and say, listen, it's not your fault. But you're the only one that could solve this. Which means that very often in life, we like to say, well, it's not my fault. And then throw it on the person whose fault it is. And you continue to suffer because it's not your fault. But with a healthy mind, you understand that even when it's not your fault, you could be the solution. So for example, if he gets nervous because you wake up too late, so figure out a way to take care of that. Create boundaries so that you don't have to go into the areas that are going to be problematic. A healthy mind understands that life situations don't have to be your fault for you to correct them and fix them and deal with them. It's not Yosef's fault that he got sold. But he had to deal with it. He could have blamed his whole life on his brothers and stayed bitter and angry for all that they did to him. But a healthy mind doesn't do that. A healthy mind deals with the situation from where they are and goes with it. They are healthy-minded people that are able to take the most difficult circumstance and make it livable and even beautiful. And they are sick-minded people that could take the most beautiful life and destroy it. It's all dependent on the mind. The healthy-minded person produces great results. And the sick-minded person produces terrible results. The only problem with this is that it's not like physical sickness. When it comes to lo aleinu, a person who's physically sick, so they feel pain. And that pain leads them to a doctor that hopefully can help them. But when it comes to the pain of the mind, or the health of the mind, a person will not know, not you and not the person looking at you, may not know how unhealthy your mind is. A person could be tremendously unhealthy minded, but have no idea. He doesn't feel the pain. There is pain, but it's pain that's caused by his wife. It's pain caused by the friends and society around him. It's pain because he's not making enough money. It's pain because his parents aren't giving him exactly what he wants. He feels pain all around, but doesn't realize that the pain is coming from his mind. Unlike when a person has a toothache. Imagine a person is in pain and doesn't know where it's coming from. It's his tooth, but he has no idea. You'd have to go through a full scan to see where the pain's coming from. When it comes to physical pain, Hashem gave us the exact location of the pain. If the tooth is hurting, you'll feel that spot. So you know to go to the doctor and you take care of that area. But when it comes to the mind, although you're going to feel the pain, but you're not going to know where it's from. Simple. If you knew where it's from, you'd go to the doctor right away, you'd fix it. But then there's no free choice. The pain is very much felt by the unhealthy-minded person. It could be the pain of loneliness. It could be the pain of failure. It could be the pain of jealousy. It could be the pain of hatred. It could be the pain of being not satisfied. But says Shlomo HaMelech, very simple. If you're in pain in life, remember this, very important words. Not physical. Physical pain, you identify the pain, you go to the doctor. Any other pain in life besides physical pain, you must know that it comes from an unhealthy mind. Very important information. Any pain in my life that I have, social, loneliness, depression, lack of satisfaction, confusion, anxiety, you name any other pain that's not physical. By the way, even physical pain has to do with the mind. Well, let's not go there for now. But any other pain other than physical, right now, you're experiencing pain in your life. If Hashem allowed you to see it and took away your free choice, you would feel your mind sizzling in pain. That you need to go to a mind doctor. Not a brain doctor. A healthy mind doctor. Such important information. Who would have known this? The pain is not from him or her or that. It's not that. The human mind, if it's healthy, no matter what the circumstance, it will be able to live a healthy life and a successful life. You cannot be worse than Yosef and his situation. Cannot. I don't think anybody here. You talk about family issues? I don't think anybody here had 10 brothers try to kill him. I don't think anybody here went from being top of the world to slave in Egypt. Loneliness? I don't think anybody here could say they're more lonely than one man in a country who knows nobody. But yet the man was healthy. Not only was he healthy, he's trying to help others. Like the Pasuk says, someone told me beautiful this week, beautiful words. I'm a little embarrassed. I didn't pick it up myself. But it's beautiful words. It says by Yosef, he was an Ish Matzliach. He was a man of success. The way we translate those words are, he was a successful man. But really in Hebrew, the right word to say a successful person is Ish Mutzlah. He's a Mutzlah. He is successful. Ish Matzliach doesn't mean he's successful. So this person told me beautifully that some explain it means he was an Ish Matzliach. He brought success unto others. He was Matzliach other people. Like we see in this parasha. When he went to work by his master, he was Matzliach his master. When he was in jail, prisoners came, he tried to be Matzliach them. So not only is Yosef healthy-minded, he became a doctor of the mind and helping others become healthy-minded. So nobody could ever say, my situation is different. This is a very hard parasha, parasha Le'ezer. It's a very hard parasha. But the brothers and Yosef and the son, it's hard. And you should know the Torah doesn't hide anything from us. It was a great woman. Actually, I'm not sure if she's a great woman. I take that back. Let's start again. It was a great rabbi, Rabbi Yosef. And a woman came to him and asked him, your Torah cannot be true. The story with Yosef, a young man living by himself in Egypt, with nobody to take care of him, no future ahead of him, and a very powerful, beautiful woman from Egypt wants to marry him, Vaima'en, and he refused. Impossible. No way this could be true. It's impossible to imagine a normal human being doing what he did in that situation. So Rabbi Yosef, you would think, would say, no, what do you mean? It's possible. You could be a gibor, you could be a strong person. It's possible to do, it's free choice, that I would have said. I would have started arguing with her. But Rabbi Yosef, interestingly enough, doesn't go there. He says to her, do you see the Torah talking about the brothers selling Yosef? You think that's a very nice historical piece for our children to learn about their ancestors? Meaning she was accusing the Torah of sugarcoating our history. That look at Yosef. Look how he controlled himself. That's not real. He's just trying to bring pride into the readers so they could feel, wow, look where I come from, Yosef. Look what kind of people I have. He told her, could you study the story of Yosef and his brothers? You think anybody would want to share that about their family? Could you look at the Egel after 40 days on Har Sinai? They go and they make a golden calf. You think anybody wants to share that in the history? And on. He told her, if you see, that's Emmet. This is Emmet. Yosef was a tremendous person with tremendous battles that nobody here could even come close to. But the healthy mind can make everything work out. You could be sitting in jail for years and years. With a healthy mind, you're matzliach. You're helping others become healthy. Mimenu totzot chayim. If a person is in pain about any area, except for physical, he needs to know there's one address. It's the mind. Your mind's not healthy. But you'll say, but I am healthy. Okay. That's one of the first signs that you're not healthy. People who are not healthy-minded, they're so confident that their mind is very healthy. Don't fall for that trap. Mimenu totzeot chayim, you could rely on Shlomo HaMelech. Therefore, says Shlomo HaMelech, once you know life has different results, and of course, you want the best. Now you know the source, the healthy mind, not money. Most people in America, you tell them what's going to create a great life? Money. Not money. Money will not create a great life. You could take that to the bank. No physical possessions can guarantee you a great life. The human mind, the healthy mind, that's the only guarantee. Says Shlomo HaMelech, therefore, now that you know this information, you want to be tremendously successful in everything you do. You can't predict the circumstance of your life. That's why money is not going to help you. Because life has many, many circumstances and money can't solve them. You can't predict what's going to be in your life, but if you have a healthy mind, no matter where you go, you're going to be great. Once you know that, now you have a job. You have a job to create a healthy mind. That's a big job. How does one create a healthy mind? I thought my mind is already created. People look at their minds as something that's already there. You ask somebody, tell me, what do you think about this situation? And they'll give you an opinion. And you'll ask them, where'd you get that from? I don't know. That's just what I think. Most people assume that what they think about anything, and most of us have an opinion on just about everything. And if I asked you, tell me, why do you think this way? And you'll say, that's just what I think. Almost as if you were born thinking this way about this subject. Whenever a person has thoughts and opinions about any area of life, they assume that this is the right thing and this is who they are. Comes Shlomo HaMelech with an unbelievable piece of information. He says, make sure you guard your mind. What does it mean to guard my mind? He's saying if you want to be a healthy person, you have to have a healthy diet. Your mind wasn't created. Your brain was created. Hashem gave you the physical brain. But your thoughts, the healthy mind is something you create. You need to be mindful of what you put into your mind. Because whatever you think right now about anything is something that came into your mind previously and has become your opinion. Which means whatever you think right now, something should be. How do you feel about Shabbat? Whatever you feel about Shabbat, it's not your opinion. It's an opinion that you allowed in your mind, which became yours. Whatever things you have in your mind about anything, it's not your opinion. It's something that you allowed to become your opinion. The brain comes into this world free of opinions. When we come into this world, the Mishnah describes the brain as an empty board. Very important information. Me and you did not come into this world opinionated. We didn't come to this world thinking, nah, I don't understand why this is important. I don't know. I don't like this. I like that. You have to remember, when you came into this world, when I came into this world, Mishnah says you are whiteboard, clean, which means you had zero opinion about anything. So when did your opinions develop? Because you allowed that information into your mind, it became your opinion. Now, when you're younger, it could be you had no control of what will come into your mind.
because you were in the hands of others.
But whatever you put in your mind, it becomes you. The world of advertising know this very, very well. That if you want to change someone's opinion about a product, all you have to do is get into their mind. So they'll show you a commercial about a drink or about a product. They will not talk about the product. They will not talk about the drink. They'll show you a product and they will connect it with happiness. They'll show you a before and after. Before the guy drank the can of Coke and after he drank the can of Coke. Amazing. The transformation. It went from black and white to color. He went from being a loser to being the most popular. He went from being really not such a good-looking guy to the, wow, gorgeous. He went from being poor to being rich. He was driving this old car, and then with the Coke in his hand, it became a convertible, beautiful, newly washed, music, stunning speakers, amazing. All with a sip of Coke.
Unbelievable.
All that in 30 seconds. And they're willing to pay billions of dollars a year to show that picture, which of course to any human with a brain knows that's an insulting message. You're insulting my intelligence by making me think that this is going to happen when a person drinks that or eats that or goes there or wears that. It's insulting. You're insulting me. So we sit there all day and we get insulted. What are they thinking? Are they thinking that I'm going to believe that? Are they banking on me believing the message? The answer to this question is they know very well it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter if you're insulted. If they're successful in getting that image into your mind, soon enough it will become your opinion too. And at some point you'll walk into the supermarket and when there are two options or more, your mind will by nature feel this is the one to take. It's obvious. Someone tells you, wait, why'd you buy Coke? You could have bought another one. Could have bought CNC. Why'd you buy Coke? Why'd you get that one? I don't know, I just like it. I can't explain it to you. I just love it. Like, I don't know, I love it. Why do you love it? When did you develop this opinion? Answer is that what you allow into your mind will become your mind. Whether you wanted it to be or didn't, whether you agreed or not, makes no difference. What you allow into your mind becomes you. You spend your time around people who complain, you will be a complainer. Even if you hate when they complain to you, hate it. But so long as you put it in your mind, it will become you. How do you see the world? What's your opinions? It's all based on what you allow in it. You take a little young boy and put him in front of a screen and you let them surf the world. And let them see all different pictures and all different people, usually not such healthy-minded people, and you allow those things into your child's mind, do not be surprised that your child gets older and they're not healthy, because you put them around the wrong people. People who have a lot of things to say that are not healthy. Music, it's all depressing, about broken relationships and broken people. Music about broken society and broken government, and in general, issues with the world. And you put that on your ear, then you're listening. And it sounds so comforting because you feel the same way now. It becomes who you are. The wrong music becomes who you are. The wrong pictures, the wrong people. The wrong news all day long. The wrong news becomes who you are. Says Shlomo HaMelech, your biggest job in life is to bring your mind to health. Be a healthy-minded person. How? How do I become a healthy-minded person? Where's the prescription? Says Shlomo, very simple. Very simple. Do not allow in your mind any pictures, any scenes, any people, any words, any music that isn't from healthy people. That's it. Make sure before something comes in, you say, wait, is this healthy or not? When you're older, you do it for your children. When they grow older, they do it for themselves. Nobody is above what they see. You can never say, no, me, I'm good. I'm already a developed person. I already have my mind. Nothing affects me. I could see anything. I could do and go anywhere with anyone. Nothing will affect my mind because I'm already established. That is not true. The human mind develops with the things that bring that come into the mind. Mikol mishmar netzor libecha, says Shlomo HaMelech, make sure your mind is healthy by allowing things into it that are healthy. This is a great message to our times, specifically more than other times. When you open up Parashat Be'alotecha, you will find the Jewish people are complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Pasuk says, Hit'avu ta'ava. They desired a desire. They told Moshe Rabbeinu, this man item, we're done with this. Not for us. We remember all the great things that we ate in Egypt, those good old days in Egypt. When we ate squash. When we ate onions. And when we ate garlic. The good old days. And now he says, Nafshenu yebesha. We feel dry. They're complaining that they don't have good food to eat. In reality, the man was the best of any of the best of the best. Moshe Rabbeinu gets very upset. He tells Hashem, Me'ayin li basar, where am I getting meat for these people?
I can't do this anymore. I have millions of people complaining to me about meat. I don't have meat.
He tells Hashem, if this is my job, then he might as well kill me, because I don't see how I can do this. Next pasuk. Hashem says to Moshe, okay, I hear you, I'm going to help you. Es fali shivim ish. Go gather 70 elders. And they're going to join you.
And the rabbis ask, well, how does this solve the problem? How is 70 elders going to help? Maybe get 70 hunters. What's 70 elders going to help you?
The problem is there's no meat. They want meat. What's 70 elders going to do?
So the answer, like we're learning today, when people sit around and have desires for things they don't need, they didn't need this. You know, we have enough desires for things that we need, but they didn't need all this. Hit'avu ta'ava, they desired a desire. When people desire things they don't need, it's because they're not healthy-minded. There's no natural desire to smoke. It's not a natural desire. There's no natural desire to take drugs. There's no natural desire to have alcohol. There's no natural desire to gamble. Not a natural desire. Natural desires are to eat, to drink, to sleep. Why would someone desire things that they don't need? That's called hit'avu ta'ava. Desires that we need, we have no questions on it. But desires of things we don't need? Why would someone desire? Why would they make themselves hungry? Desire means you're hungry for something. Why would you make yourself hungry for something that you don't need? It avub, they desire a ta'ava.
The answer is very simple. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, says Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, even if I give these people meat, it's not going to help them. Because when you're not healthy, even if you get what you desire, you'll just make up another one, the same way you made up this one. You made up this, after you get it, you'll make up another one. Because the source, when you make up a desire, it has nothing to do with the desire. And that's why it's insolvable. You can't solve it. Because you'll just keep making things up. It's the healthy mind that's the issue. That's why Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what the solution is? We need to get more elders. We got to teach them more Torah. Obviously, your Torah is not being learned enough. Maybe you're one person, you can't teach everybody. Gather 70 elders so we can teach them more Torah. When people are desiring things they don't need, it's because their mind is not well. No matter what you get them, it's not going to help them. But if you fix their mind, everything is good. That's why the Torah was given in this situation to 70 elders to teach. This is the great solution that Hashem gave our people. As long as we have the Torah, we keep our mind healthy. What's the Torah? All ideas and thoughts of goodness and proper and respect and truth, beautiful things you put in your mind all day long. What do you do all day long? You listen to classes, you're learning. As you learn and listen and learn and listen and learn, your mind is becoming healthier by the day. You don't even realize it. You come to a class, you listen to a class, you think you're listening to the information, and sometimes you think you forgot it. But in truth,
every day you come and learn and learn and learn and learn, it's making your mind a healthy mind, and you'll be healthier in other things even if you're not learning about them. Whenever we see hit'avut ha'ava, it's the mind that's not healthy. Says Shlomo HaMelech, that's where you need to watch. Watch your mind. Put yourselves around the right people. Don't put your children with the wrong people. Don't put them in the wrong environment. Don't put them on screens that are going to destroy them. Don't do it. Make sure you filter everything that they see. It will create the results of their life. And that's why the Midrash says that the darkest of all decrees of the Greeks was to write on the horn of the ox, "I don't believe in God." You see, when it comes to Shabbat and it came to Brit Milah, the Jew understood how dangerous it was without Shabbat. He would fight for it. He'll fight for a Brit Milah. It angered him. But to see every day on the screen, "I don't believe in Hashem." But I don't believe it. I know it's not true. Yeah, but you don't believe also the Coke makes you rich. You also don't believe that. You also don't think the Coke makes you popular. It doesn't matter. It's not how the mind works. You don't have to believe something for it to be part of you. You just have to see it day in and day out. The great wisdom of the Greeks was just put it in front of their face. It won't anger them. It won't upset them because "I don't believe what you're saying. It's not who I am." And then day by day, it becomes your opinion without even realizing. Because the rule of life is what you allow into your mind will become your mind. So your job and my job is to always assess what's coming into the mind. Make sure the right music is playing. You know, you play good music. Good music. Good Jewish music. So beautiful. You have songs about saying thank you to Hashem, appreciation, saying I want to be better, I want to be closer. They're beautiful things. That music makes your mind healthy. The opposite destroys your mind. And all the different people that you could spend time with, be careful. Be careful. That guy, you don't want to spend time with him. He's going to affect you and infect you. Totseot Haim. Who you allow in your mind will become your mind. And therefore, be careful. That's one of the great lessons of Hanukkah. The great lessons of Hanukkah is the Greeks with their brilliant plan of changing our mind. That was what they wanted to do. And we answer back with the light of Hanukkah, the light of Torah. The true battle against the Greek is the Torah that makes our mind healthy. They're trying to make our mind not healthy. Be'ezrat Hashem, it's one of the important messages of Hanukkah, that we should purify our minds and the minds of the people that are in our circles. Have a wonderful day.